Good evening. You're listening to Outsources, a KGNU Boulder Denver program that brings you stimulating and thoughtful perspectives on the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer communities. I'm your host, Angela Palermo. As always, I'm pleased to be here with you for another episode of Colorado's only regularly scheduled LGBT-themed radio show. At this point, I usually say that I'm excited to speak with tonight's guests. And make no mistake, I am very pleased to speak with my two guests. But it is with something of a heavy heart that I address you all this evening. We here in the local transgender community have lost one of our own, someone who is a bright light and a rising star. Jordan Waliba, a Denver area trans woman comedian, passed away on Thursday, September 8th. She had contracted bronchitis and then suffered a severe asthma attack on top of it. She was taken to the hospital, slipped into a coma, and then died. It was a terrible shock to everyone who knew her. Jordan was so vital and full of life, and someone who, by her profession as a comic, made people laugh. Her passing was doubly shocking for me, since my interview with her had only been broadcast as an Outsources episode a mere 10 days prior to her death. I was stunned and deeply saddened to near speechlessness. Tonight, I am hoping we can both grieve the sudden loss of Jordan and celebrate her life and everything she meant to the local trans and comedy communities. We will be hearing some audio clips of Jordan's comedy so that you can get a flavor for her act on stage. To lend additional context to Jordan's work and life, I have with me in the studio Rachel Weeks and Janae Burris, two of Jordan's local comedy colleagues. Both Jordan and Janae are working comics in their own right and knew Jordan well. In fact, they were a part of the Pussy Bros comedy group, a group that also included Jordan as one of its four members. Please check out clips of Rachel and Janae on YouTube. They are both really funny comedians. I guarantee they will amuse you. In any event, welcome, Rachel and Janae, and thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedules to be on Outsources.
Thanks, Angela.
Of course.
Thanks for calling us funny comedians and not comedians. Ooh. Much appreciate it.
Okay. Well, it's great to have you here. And starting out, I'm wondering, how long have you all known Jordan? And did you know her prior to her transition? And how did her comedy act change after she began her gender transition? Did she wholesale rewrite her act after transitioning?
Neither of us knew Jordan before her transition. I've known her for about a year. We've been a part of a comedy group together since April, I think.
Not long. I knew her for 2 years. I moved to Denver 2 years ago. Christy Buckley, the fourth member of the Pussy Bros, knew her before her transition and wrote some stuff about her regarding that, but
it's my understanding that she basically scrapped her act and started from scratch, and Christy would say it much improved her act. It's my understanding that Jordan pre-transition on stage was very angry and was very sort of stereotypical male comedian, like kind of stick it to the man kind of stuff. But after her transition, she just had a fresh perspective and was very brave about talking about it and her perspective. And she taught a lot of people stuff that they never would have had access to before.
And speaking of Jordan's comedy, let's play a clip from, I think this is from a performance she did at Comedy Works, this first initial clip.
It's hard being transgender. Even in 2016, it's hard. Probably the only thing in my life that gets hard anymore, right? What? Oh, yeah, thanks, estrogen. Yay, it was nothing like waking up to a second puberty in the morning. Yay, it's fine. Yeah, with the testes and with the estes, as they always say. It's fine. No, it's hard. It's hard. People like to think that I'm less than human, which is ridiculous. One lady came up to me after a show, and she said, you know what, sweetie, you were funny, but you can't be a real woman without a vagina. And I'm like, oh yeah? Explain Barbie. Are you kidding me? And she's like, all right, whatever. So we started going toe to toe. She's like, all right, well, real woman has long hair. And I said, so do I. This is homegrown. And she said, okay, well, real women have breasts. And I said, so do I. Two of them. In fact, I bet they cost more than that doll. And she goes, okay, all right. Well, Barbie doesn't have a penis. And I said, ooh, you got me there. But you know what? Neither did Ken, bitch. Neither did Ken, right? Fine. She's right, though. She's right. I have not had the big surgery at the old Permatuck, unfortunately. It's really expensive, you guys. It's going to cost me an arm and a third leg, I swear to God. I don't know what I mean. It's 25 grand. It's 25 grand for a brand new vagina. That doesn't come with Wi-Fi. That doesn't come with Bluetooth. 25 grand, like, I'm broke. I'm a broke-ass comic. Like, there's no used vagina store I can go to. There's no push-pull or drag-it-in sale for me. Oh, no. It's like, Deal and Doug won't talk to me. J.G. Wentworth won't return my calls. It's like, if you want a vagina but you need cash, that's not...
Wow, it's just so... It's so hard to hear her words. And know that we can't speak with her anymore, and it's odd that my friend Leo, who was the person that turned me on to her comedy, we had actually talked a couple of days after Jordan's episode broadcast on August 29th, that we should go see her cabaret night that she does once a month at Blush and Blue.
Something fabulous.
Something fabulous.
With Cherry Pop, yeah.
Yeah, on East Colfax at Blush and Blue. And then, like, a week later, she had died. And so it was just so...
I think that's part of the major pain that a lot of us are having. It's like, oh, we thought we had more time, and everybody's feeling a little cheated, wanted a little bit more of her. You know, all had a real desire for more of her. So it's,
I mean, and I would say we've talked about it a little bit, but more than so many other comics, Jordan had so much to offer to so many people. You know, her comedy was educational and funny, and she was giving a perspective that isn't very common in the comedy world. And if it is being shown, often it's not funny. And Jordan was very funny about stuff that's really hard to talk about. And that combination is so precious. So losing her is a huge loss, just unspeakable.
And do you all know how other comics reacted to her transition at that time, and how they've reacted to who she is since then, even recently in the last, you know, few months prior to her passing? Did she get a lot of static from other comedians or club owners? Or,
well, I think regarding bookings, yes, because she should have been booked more. And I think a lot of people missed out by thinking that the world wasn't ready for her humor, you know, because you got to play for broad audiences. And I think that as cool as comedy folks are, they're thinking that the audiences weren't as cool. But I really wish that we had just exposed them. It's like, they need exposure to different voices. The audience doesn't know what they want to hear. So I can only imagine that there was some issue with it, because she really should have been booked more as a person who was funny, who had 10 years of comedy under her belt, who was a performer. You know, she performed music. She was writing a lot. She had blogs. She has websites. She was getting into every festival she applied for. She was hardworking as hell. So she, you know, with all of that, she should have been booked, you know, everywhere, all the time. But I think that she was also in that group. She was in a improv group or something.
No, it was a comedy group. I don't remember what they were called, though. That was before our time. I mean, Jordan's always been an active member of the comedy scene. So to go through something like transitioning and choose to come back to comedy, where everybody knows you so well, and like they hear your personal life on stage all the time, it's such a crazy brave choice. And just from what I've heard from comics who are around when Jordan transitioned, it was, you know, it was a big change, but they followed the lead of the people who were leading the scene at the time, and all of them were welcoming and cool, and I don't think she caught a lot of social flack for it, but Jordan's always been a pretty private person when it comes to like social interactions. So at least in comedy, on stage, she told everything. She gave you everything you needed to hear, which is what made her so special and honest. But yeah, I think at least for in the year I've been here and the 2 years that Janae has been here, she's been an integral part of the scene, and losing her is huge.
Yeah. I think she says she's on an episode of Empty Girlfriend, like episode 3, one of their early episodes, and she does talk about when she was transitioning and she was part of this other group of comics, how they kind of pushed her out of the group. They really couldn't accept the transition she was making, and so she sort of parted ways with them, which was probably better because she was funnier than them, so she got to go do her own thing without people dragging her down, you know? So I think it was hard for a lot of people. I only knew her as Jordan the Woman, so it was easy for me. It was just like, I just got to see all of that. She never had to explain anything or prove anything. It was just like, she was fully herself. You know, she was a real lady. Just, you know, legs crossed, huge skirts, you know, nice shoes.
During our interview, she talked about being in festivals in Toronto, and she was going to be going to New York, I think, for something called the Cinder Block Comedy Festival.
That was days after she passed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she was going to be doing that, and that was like her second time to New York. She'd been there before doing her act, and she also talked about, you know, unfortunately, as a trans woman comedian, I have to think about my safety when I'm booking shows. I can't just go anywhere. I can't, you know, she said, I probably won't be going to Nebraska. And I said, or Pocatello, Idaho. I remember saying that. She's like, there's certain places I just feel like uncomfortable. And we talked about, had she thought about going to states like North Carolina and Mississippi, who had passed, you know, the so-called bathroom bills. And she said, no, she hadn't. But she did talk about, well, I did try to apply for a comedy festival in Atlanta because it's a bigger city and has a large queer and trans community there. So she felt comfortable enough to go to someplace like Atlanta.
She was really brave in that she was applying for all kinds of stuff. She was doing a lot. Maybe she didn't make it to, I don't know what that punk's up, Tony. What is it? She didn't make it there.
Yeah.
But I could imagine that she would have made it around to those smaller places because she was, you know, widening her circle, and you know, her reach was getting further, and we got to travel together with her as a group, and I think that felt good for her and for us to be able to go. We went to
Ames, Iowa.
Yeah.
And we drove through Nebraska. I mean, and it was a little bit of tension, but she was a champ.
Yeah, it's like we're all aware of it. We talk about it. We got a black woman in the car. We got a trans woman in the car. You know, Christy's got CP. We get out. Rachel looks like Rachel, and we get out of the car together, and we're all these women, and it's just like, all right, we all gotta pee, and we're all going in here together, and this is gonna happen right now, and so we broke the ice in that way. So I could just imagine we were definitely gonna go some other places together, and we would have made our way around
as a group.
That was the part of the thing is we were so new as a group, so, I mean, we're 6 months-ish in, maybe more than that now. And we had so many plans to tour as a group and to apply for clubs as a group and to... Because we're a diverse group of women, and having women at all on a comedy show is still, like, kind of a novelty thing. I mean, there's usually one or two women on the spot, but having four women who are funny and all different... that come with like drastically different perspectives is such a special thing. So losing Jordan, we're still figuring out how to do it, but you know, her hard work is inspiring us to actually put in the work, put out the, start applying for things and get on the road and put it on the calendar now, because you never know.
There's no yeah. time.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the group, let's get back to that after we play the next clip from Jordan.
It sucks not dating. I've tried dating. I've gone to all the online sites. I hit eHarmony, Plenty of Fish, Match.com, Christian Mingle, J-Date, Black People Meet, Farmers Only, No Bites. Unfortunately. I tried finding a trans dating site, but I kept getting links to car repair places. I don't know how that works. No, I got my oil changed. That was about it. That's... Pet Boys are really nice. It's cool. Getting laid isn't the problem, though. I can get laid. There are people who want to go for transsexual people, which is fine. It's easy. All I have to do is talk to this dude, Craig. He has a list. He's smooth up in you. I could do it. I don't often go for Craigslist because there's a lot of creeps and pervs and comedians on Craigslist. I don't... Don't go for that. I would never date a comedian. I would never date a comedian. They don't need the headache, and I don't need the material. I am not going for a comedian. It's terrible. They're actually, to tell you the truth, there is a guy I do like. He's a nice straight boy. Reminding you, I like men. Wrap your head around that, Lanny. I like men. And I think he likes me too, but he's seen me perform before. He knows I'm trans, and that's really making him question himself. You know, he's like, what does that mean about me? What are my friends gonna think? What if I get too emotionally attached to this chick? And I never thought that I'd be the person to say this, but dude, quit acting like such a girl. Are you kidding me? I was like, grow some balls, man. Ask me, do you want mine? Take them. I just stick them on yours. Just ask me out, dude. It's ridiculous. It's terrible. I think guys are just afraid to date me because of the age-old adage of cooties, you know? Of course, at my age, cooties means penis. Maybe guys are just afraid to date me because my cooties might be bigger than theirs. It's... Boom. Yeah.
All right, well, that was a funny bit. That was... she mentioned Lanny's at one point. That clip was recorded at Lanny's Clock Tower Cabaret and... downtown Denver, and it's part of her estrogentrification mm-hmm. album that mm-hmm. she recorded that you can listen to in its entirety on her website, which is
it's so apt. It's, you know, Denver,
yeah,
and it's Jordan yeah. is a Denver girl, right. so
if you want to listen to that, just go to comedianjordan.com. her website is still up. You can still listen to that album. There's a, you just click the album link and you can listen to all 35 or 36 minutes. Well, we were talking about the comedy group before the clip, and the Pussy Bros comedy group. And what was Jordan's role in the group? Did she have any kind of special role? And at some point, do you think you'll add another comic to the group to replace her? Or do you see her as sort of irreplaceable?
Oh, God, she's irreplaceable. She's yeah. irreplaceable.
We were talking about this the other day, but where else do you find, like, a whip-smart, kind, hardworking trans woman comedian? They're very few and far between. So, I mean, replacing someone like Jordan is impossible. But, I don't know. Jordan, we were talking about it. We had our first show without her. We was this past Friday. And she took all the pictures at the show, and she was always tweeting. She took care of a lot of the social yeah. media stuff. Plus, she was a graphic yeah. designer, so she's done a couple of our posters. I mean, we were so new, we've never really locked in what our specific roles are, but, I mean, everything's kind of a democracy, and Jordan did a lot of the nitty-gritty stuff that we didn't even think about until after
she
was
born. Running really great shows on her own.
Yeah.
So... that was an asset for us to have someone who really knew how to run a show very mm-hmm. well. And, you know, she was always getting people out to her shows. And she helped me on another show that I was running at Comedy Works. And she, I mean, big shoes to fill. I wouldn't even want to put somebody in that position. I'd rather add a fifth cat yeah. to the group than to try to replace her.
Yeah.
What sort of, you know, with Jordan being a trans woman and fairly vocal and out about being trans, what sort of impact do you think she had on, like, the trans community and the comic community with regard to her activism and her outspokenness?
Christy was saying, Christy's at a show right now, by the way, at Comedy Works, but she's listening. Hi, Christy. And she was saying that Jordan introduced a lot of people to transgender issues, and just watching her on stage was a testament to the fact that people are born, and some people are just born in the wrong body. Once she was a female, she was so completely herself and the most honest person I knew. That's what Christy said. And I think everybody learned by watching. I learned. She's my only trans friend. And so I learned by just watching her walk in her truth was enough to turn me around after, you know, 30-something years of going to church and learning ridiculous things. Excuse me, Mom, if you're listening. but there was a lot of nonsense I learned. And Jordan, just by walking in her truth, really just was a lesson for people, whether she wanted to be or not. And I know I wasn't the only one.
Yeah, I mean, so many people have talked about Jordan being their first real introduction to trans people. And not even just, like, knowing a trans person. She made it okay to ask questions, and she made it okay to learn and, like, really understand her decision. So you got to understand the transgender, like, issue better through Jordan. Because, you know, you don't want to ask a trans person a lot of questions, but she's on stage answering your questions. She's giving you all of the information you need to love and care for her. And we always talked about, like, even if you didn't agree with the trans issue, even if you weren't there politically, Jordan was undeniable. Like, mm-hmm. you had to like Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was on stage, and she was funny, and she was punk rock. And
she was punk rock,
She took no crap.
Punk rock and princess, man.
She was undeniable.
She had great tweets, too.
Yeah, her Twitter feed is incredible, at Jordan Comedy.
Well, why don't we listen to another clip from Jordan's Estro Gentrification album recorded at Lanny's.
Got breast augmentation. Got my boobs done, everybody. So thank you. Thank you. Yeah. First time I've been excited about boobs. So go boobs. It was great. When you get breast augmentation, you really have to be careful about which doctor you pick. There's a lot of sloppy titties out there. So I looked for a very, very long time, and I finally settled on a doctor. He was the best one in that strip mall. He was great. I shared a parking lot with Chili's. It worked. I got these awesome blossoms. Went and got another one. It was perfect. No, he turned out to be a real great guy, top of the line doctor. He was in like 5280 magazine, Denver Post, real great guy, super easy to work with, really nice. Let me pick out my own implants, so I went with the Star Trek line. They're made out of silicone. Yeah. It's the first time I ever got an applause break with that joke. So yeah. Fine, but the best part about the surgery wasn't the result, it was what happened right before. This was incredibly validating. I was sitting in the OR, I was waiting to go in, and the nurse came in, my mom can vouch for this, and this is true, the nurse came in, and she said, okay, you have to pee in a cup now. I said, why do I have to pee in a cup? I swear I haven't smoked weed in at least a few hours. And she was like, well, we need to make sure you're not pregnant. Pretty sure I'm not pregnant. And she goes, well, will you just do it anyways? Because some women come in here and they're surprised. I'm like, you're damn right I'd be surprised if it turns out I was pregnant. Yikes. Doing something right. So what I had the surgery, and when I was done, I found the nurse, and I said, so what were the results? She said, surprise, it's a boy. Yikes. Apparently, when I was under, the nurse came out to the waiting room where my mom was, and she goes, I had no idea she was transsexual. My mom was like, I always knew. Lanny's, you have been so amazing. Thank you so much. Such a magical evening.
Alrighty, but that was Jordan closing her show at Lanny's Clock Tower Cabaret in downtown Denver. I'm wondering, gals, What do you think you'll miss most about Jordan in the wake of her passing, and what most impressed you about her comedy and just her as a person?
Oh, Jordan was so brave. I mean, people always talk about comedians as like, I could never do that. I could never get on stage and do that. I could never do what Jordan did. Like, she knew herself so completely to choose to transition, which is such a brave choice in the first place. And then to get on stage and be so vulnerable and be so real and about herself and about her life and her family. And that, so many comics can learn from that. And I learned from that. I remember we went out to Ames, Iowa, which is, Iowa tends to be a pretty, like, a progressive state. But, you know, we were in this little divey bar and there weren't a lot of people there. It was a couple of older trucker-looking guys. And she looked back at me and she was like, well, this might go poorly. And then just got on stage. And she just did her thing. She always, like, she never bent based on what room she was in. She just got up and said, this is who I am and this is what I do and you guys are going to have to deal with it, which is just unspeakable bravery.
She's one of the strongest women in town for comedy. You know, it's not that many women doing stand-up, and I felt like we had a nice little girl gang going, you know, and she was one of the best, so I really miss that. It's like somebody, one of the best left from the top. That's how do we get that back?
Yeah.
And so much about comedy is just finding people with different perspectives and being like, let's, like, hearing something different for once.
It makes everything boring now.
Yeah, like, it's...
Just listening to...
Listening to Jordan was a relief because she was both funny and different.
Yes.
You know, she had a very real brand and a very real sound, and you just knew what you were going to get from Jordan, and that... I guess it took her 10 years and a complete transition of her entire life, but she was completely real about herself and completely happy with herself, which is...
She's really kind, too.
Yeah.
Really just a nice person. I think that she was really self-aware, and she was gentle with people. Like, she, you know, people may not accept her completely, and she was gentle with them, just in how, like, never pushing herself on people, just sort of being present, being there, being really smart and sophisticated and in the room, and it's nice to have her energy around, and I'm gonna miss having that energy around, and I miss when the three of us talk and I don't see that fourth little face pop up in the message. I kind of still look for that.
And I gather that she was, like, very giving and would show up to other people's shows, mm-hmm. even if she wasn't on the bill for that night.
Watching shows, supporting. Yeah. She and I watched a couple of shows at Comedy Works South up in the, we laughed at Nikki Glaser. We're just sitting there and just listening, like comics, you know, being critical and just listening. And then there just got to Nikki Glaser, just starts talking about vaginas, and we both just start giggling and we giggle more. We just kind of connect on that. It was nice to just meet up with her. There's never any pressure about hanging out. Just like, oh, okay, I'll be there too. Let's meet up.
Yeah, I mean, she always did her own thing, but she was easy to talk to for everybody. So many people felt comfortable around Jordan, which I don't think a lot of people can say that about comics in this scene necessarily. Sometimes comics can be surly, I suppose. But Jordan was just a welcoming, friendly person. And we talked about her being punk rock, and I think that a lot of that comes from that sort of background. It was just sort of a come as you are kind of thing. Like, we've all got history, we've all got baggage. I'm not going to judge you on it. Let's hang out together.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, we've been speaking with Rachel Weeks and Janae Burris, who are local comedians and members of the Pussy Bros comedy group, as we remember and celebrate the life and work of trans woman comedian Jordan Waliba. Jordan, you left us far too soon, but many of us here locally and across the country will continue to carry you in our hearts. We will miss your humor and the way you lived your life with integrity as an out and proud transgender woman.
This Monday, October 17th, on Outsources, Boulder attorney Gene Dubofsky, the lead attorney for the Supreme Court case that overturned Colorado's anti-LGBTQ Amendment 2, talks with hosts Glenda Russell and Janice Bohan about the case and its impact on subsequent gay rights rulings. It's a marvelous story about how a committed ally can help change the direction of history for people who are faced with systemic oppression. You don't want to miss this episode of Outsources, Monday night at 6:30, here on KGNU. And it's 7 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder and Denver. Stay tuned for the Opera Box, coming up after this message.